Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this bonus episode of the Nixendoik Cogules Show. My name is Nixendoik Cogules, the namesake for this here podcast. I had decided to re-record this entire episode because I was not very happy with the aggressive delivery I have had while recording this previously. But that said, here we are. In a dystopian world, the Roman Catholic Church erected over their 1900-year rule, and through three stages. This is why I titled this bonus episode The Way That I Have, because we don't hate the Jesuit order and Roman Catholic Church's guts enough. I've made a statement on YouTube, and so has Sokyo, my former editor, on this new age verification scheme that will be decried as a digital ID scheme by Jesuit doomers, forcing the doxing of millions of users. Thankfully, I won't be included in this scheme, because my data is not really on the big brokers like Spokio or White Pages. Regardless of that, as a privacy advocate myself, I cannot, in good faith, support this blackmail scheme, as that will be misused, abused, and even weaponized to protect the children. That excuse isn't working on us Jesuit snitches, so you'll have to pull a false flag event and add the number for dishonesty, 113, to your gematria calculations and force us under this age verification scheme. I know how you work, you Jesuit punks, ye harlotaire beasts. I'm a numerologist by hobby, and even I know that what you're doing is leading people to take the mark of the beast on the right hand by obeying the Pope at least. This is exactly what you want, and I won't allow it for myself as long as I live. Messiah has something to say about that too, and I'll let him handle it. Especially now, since you will want me murdered, because you now know for a fact that I won't be revering, much less obeying, the Antichrist beast popes of Rome anytime soon. You can shove your shifting of blame away from the Pope where the sun don't shine, and may Yehovah and his son, Messiah Yeshua, judge ye harlots at their timing. Now, to me, it seems it will be a hard battle, because even my own folks don't realize that they have been fooled by the Roman Catholic Church in what they do. I tried to tell them, but they have no eyes to see, no ears to hear, and no heart to receive. Solar Sabbaths on a Saturday or Sunday? Futurism? Preterism? Reading Catholic-supervised Bibles like the NKJV, ISR, ESV, and NIV? By the way, I read from a Catholic parasite Bible from the previous attempt, so I tried to get the proper Bible. Not to mention, supporting the occupation of Palestine and killing off those who are of the people Israel. These are the Palestinians, which Jesuit and Catholic sympathizers will not believe me for and will call me a complete idiot on. But we shouldn't be supporting these Esau Edomites, who are the property of the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuit order. This type of thing sets off righteous indignation and pathological demand avoidance in me. This is simply because Messiah has shown me in my own walk that over 22 years I've lived on this planet, the Roman Catholic Church had me by the balls. I took the mark of the beast on the right hand by obeying the Pope for over 2 decades. I stopped that in late December of 2024 or early January of 2025 by learning what the mark is and how to avoid taking it. This is the exact episode that I will go ahead and explain a bit of this in. I will do so you can kickstart your own research and realize that, while I don't have everything figured out, at least Messiah might be bringing you on the right path through me. That is what I pray. This is something I've been passionate about ever since I figured out how many people have taken the mark by either revering the Pope, which is on the forehead, and or obeying him, which is on the right hand. I estimate right around 5 to 6 billion, with a B, people have obeyed the Pope, which is taking the mark on the right hand. and they still do so. I hope that I can give you a perspective that you, the futurist or the preterist, will need in order to start researching this. You are in need of something, because you are of the Ecclesia era of Laodicea. You think you're rich, meaning you already know the truth, and that you're in need of nothing, or an alternative explanation of Revelation, Daniel, and the Olivet Discourse. You actually are in need of something, for you're wretched, poor, miserable, and hungry. I will be providing evidence using a Young's literal translation. Not even a King James 1611 will do it for me, as that was Catholic supervised too, unfortunately. Any clarifications or use of Hebrew words will be added for context in the verses, while otherwise leaving them untouched. Firstly, I will go ahead and talk about the deception of Bible translations. Now, the reason why most will trust their Catholic or Jesuit-trained pastor or read differently to what I do is this: Scripture's translations that are dirty. To combat this, there are two versions of the Scriptures I looked at, one of which I use on a regular basis, and one recommended by David Nicol Wilcoxon, a Protestant historicist prophet and a witness against the Roman Catholic Church. These two versions are the 1599 Geneva, the 1560 also works, and the Young's literal translation. Versions like the New International, which has a sister publisher behind the Satanic Bible, New Living Translation, English Standard Version, and any of the Institute for Scriptures Research Bibles, New American Standard Bible, New King James Version, and potentially a King James Version 1611 edition. Version means to destroy in one definition, and the King James from 1611 was alleged to destroy the Geneva, the best English language Bible in existence. Now, if one were to use something like a Wycliffe Bible, even a 2018 Wycliffe with modern-day spelling, that's also a great idea, and I recommend that one too. Any Bible, really, before 1611 will do the trick. Those versions will teach historicism, the feasts and the festivals, lunar Sabbath, which we lost into the 300s, thanks to Constantine and him forcing his creed down our throats. And yes, that we are saved as long as we do what Messiah taught us. Nothing more, nothing less. To be frank about this, I've read versions I cannot recommend and determined them to be complete and utter garbage. Especially now that anybody willing to do something like using one of these Jesuit-infested Bibles makes me not trust them at all. It's not out of hatred for the person, but for hatred of the version that they used due to its Catholic parasitism all over it. Even my own folks can't wrap their heads around most of the things I started doing in my walk. And guess what? I've made them jealous of my walk. Unintentionally, mind you, but I don't care, because I'm much better off with some knots I need to work out than I was for the past 22 years of my Jesuit booty life. Next up, the calendar. Why do most people observe their Sabbath on a Saturday or a Sunday? That can't be answered from what I previously mentioned, being that we lost the lunar Sabbath thanks to Constantine forcing the rules of postponement down our throats. I have been called an idiot for this, because I actually follow this calendar after researching it and reading into it myself. Oh, and yes, the lunar Sabbath is, in fact, Torah. This Hebrew calendar is a lunisolar calendar, which has months on a 29.5-day lunar cycle basis, meaning some months are 30 days, others are 29. The days of rest are, indeed, conflated with some feast days, the first and last days of Sukkot and Matzot, or tabernacles and unleavened bread, come to mind. The Shabbatot occur on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th days of one of these months. There are no exceptions to this rule. I took most of the work from Wilcoxon's research on this, as he studied the scriptures as a whole for over a decade. We lost this easy-to-understand calendar, which is not pagan, by the way, Catholic sympathizers, because we lost it in the 4th century, due to Constantine thinking to change the laws, the times, and the seasons, just like we were warned in the scripture. The rules of postponement directly fulfill this warning. Also, can we mention that if one does a Saturday Sabbath, that they tend to observe it from a Friday sundown to a Saturday sundown? This is another Roman edict I stopped following, as a day clearly doesn't start at sundown. In fact, the term erev means evening or even. From Genesis 1, verse 5, it states the following. And God calleth to the light day, yom, and to the darkness he hath called night, laila. And there is an evening, erev, and there is a morning, bokir, day one. Now, think about this for a second. This seems to insinuate that the sunset starts a day. However, there is proof that this isn't sunset to sunset for a day, as the Jesuits currently enforce without us realizing it. No, this is for Yom Kippur, which is the only sunset to sunset, as clearly stated in Leviticus 16, verses 29 through 32, as follows. And it hath been to you for a statute age during, in the seventh month, in the tenth of the month, ye humble yourselves, and do no work, the native and the sojourner who is sojourning in your midst. For on this day he maketh atonement for you, to cleanse you from all your sins before Jehovah. Ye are clean. It is to you a Sabbath of rest, and ye have humbled yourselves, a statute age during. And the priest, whom he doth anoint, and whose hand he doth consecrate to act as priest instead of his father, hath made atonement, and hath put on the linen garments, the holy garments. The timing of sunset is found in Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, as follows. A lamb, a perfect one, a male, a son of a year, let be to you. From the sheep or from the goats ye do take it, and it hath become a charge to you until the 14th day of this month, and the whole assembly of the company of Israel have slaughtered it between the evenings. Between the evenings, or in other words, at even or at evening, was when the lamb was to be killed for Passover, the 14th day of Nisan. Before the lunar Sabbath, that is the first day of unleavened bread, the 15th of Nisan. I didn't add this here in the script, but following that would end up being the day of first fruits, which is the 16th of Nisan. Isn't that sunset, the timing of the start of Yom HaKippurim, at even the day prior? That's the only day that's a sunset-to-sunset affair. Otherwise, all Sabbaths and feasts are assumed to start at sunrise and end at sunset, not starting at sunset the day prior. Yom HaKippurim is the only exception of its kind in this discipline. Then comes the weekly Sabbath. I've mentioned the lunar Sabbath, but what is it exactly? On top of this, how does it work? For the first question, I've answered it a bit earlier, but in short, on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th days of a Hebrew calendar month, this is your Sabbath. This was shown in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and Jasher chapter 88. You do no mencha, servile work, for personal gain. The new moon day, called a Rosh Chodesh, as explained in Ezekiel chapter 46, Numbers chapter 28 and 29, Ezra chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 45, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, Mark chapter 13, Psalm 81, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and many more of the like clearly talk about the new moon day being one of three types of days, what you Catholic sympathizers called non-days, which was complete bupkis from the beginning. This is where we also get the uninformed position of a repeating six-day work, one-day rest cycle. This comes from a misunderstanding of the calendar entirely, as that's assuming the Gregorian calendar is to be used alongside the Hebrew calendar. Not even close to that. And not to mention, you've actually been taught a false calendar, a false gospel, a false intercessor, and, on top of that, a false Torah. You've taken the mark of the beast on the right hand your entire life, exactly as I described. And that goes for most of you. I'm included in that as well, as I took the mark, again, as I described, on the right hand for over two decades. I fixed that up once I realized how I was taking it on the right hand and stopped most of it cold turkey. I'm glad I did, and the Lunar Sabbath was one of the steps I took to stop taking the mark. Not to mention, the new moon days help me to adjust to when the Sabbath is, as it can fall on any day of the 7-day week in the Gregorian calendar, including Saturday and Sunday. Why people can't wrap their heads around it is because I've undone their Jesuit programming somewhat, and they cannot admit that they've been had by the private parts, thanks to the Jesuit order clutching them left, right, and center. Moving on, though. Now, if you want proof of this, I have some authors to recommend. Books like The Legendary Horae Apocalypticae by E.B. Eliot, or The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by non-Christian historian Edward Gibbon. By the way, he was used by Messiah, Gibbon in particular, to teach people exactly how the seal and trumpet judgments up to the sixth trumpet were against the Roman Empire and eventually the Roman Catholic Church fulfilled. H.G. Guinness wrote several books on Protestant historicism. J.A. Wiley would write The Seventh Vial, which explains how the seventh vial, or bull, depending on your translation, of Revelation was to be poured out against the Jesuit order. The Jesuit superior general is the false prophet, the earth beast of Revelation. There's a lot more to this, but even the likes of Will Coxon happened to have made books going verse by verse. Speaking of, if you want to understand Protestant historicism, not Seventh-day Adventist historicism like I fell for, as it was originally written, then there are some YouTube channels you can watch. Will Coxon is one of them. Some sites actually hate him because he tries to do what the Creator intended in the first century, what I described earlier in this bonus episode. The others are the likes of Carl Tester, Carl with a K, Bible or Tradition, and the series Protestant Historicism by Robert Carangola on the channel Truth in History. From my research, Puritans.net also seems like a good option, as they are also historicist. I think a major issue was when they did Solar Sabbath, which is taking the mark on the right hand. However, they probably didn't know Lunar Sabbath, so I won't blame them for not knowing Lunar Sabbath. Sadly, this seems to be likely, though I'm not surprised at some of the misunderstandings. I'll just leave that here, and let you consider these primers. Now, to really understand historicism, I need to give you an order of things that you need to go through in order to see the bigger picture of Protestant historicism. First, you need to understand what the 70th week of Daniel was all about. There's a fantastic book by Carangola, audiobook form by Tearing Down Idols, called 70 Weeks, The Historical Alternative, which explains what the 70th week prophecy was all about. Messiah's 3.5-year ministry before his death on the cross. It's not about an end times Antichrist, who is actually a deflection of blame away from the Antichrist beast popes of Rome. Next, you need to take a look at the Olivet Discourse, which would talk about how the unbelieving Jewish nation would be destroyed by the Great Tribulation, called the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. And it lasted 3.5 years. Will Coxon's video series and book, The Olivet Discourse Decoded, is a good option for that. The PDF for it is free upon request, and so is his 70th week of Daniel Decoded book, though you can buy physical copies of those too and Revelation Timeline Decoded on Amazon. Speaking of, Revelation will be the next one to look at once you understand what the 70th week of Daniel and the Olivet Discourse are both about. Revelation is actually a four-layered war manual, as that's how you go to war against the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuit order. This is the beast we have to deal with today. All these three combined are the basics of Protestant historicism. A lot of people won't understand this at first, which is why I gave the order I did. Thankfully, I have some documentation from Will Coxon's research into many of the topics, including the calendar I use nowadays, which is, of course, the Lunisolar Hebrew calendar, which includes the lunar Sabbaths of the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th days of a Hebrew calendar month. Point blank, carte blanche. I'll probably need to write different bonus episodes covering each of the different prophecies, at least the basics, and how they are explained on a verse-by-verse basis in the coming months. I'll need to know how to do this properly. I'm not even going to waste any time with an outro or anything like that. Also, I decided to not do music in this podcast, and of course the main episode this week, as an experiment. So feel free to let me know which you like better, if you like music within the sections, or if you just didn't want any music at all. That said, I am out of time for today's bonus episode. Thank you, and good night.